today what we want to talk about is we want to talk about sinusoidal steady state again. And we need to talk about a thing called a Bode plot. So, okay, so I'm going to try one more time to remind you about phasors, okay? You learned about phasors in circuits. You learned about phasors a bit earlier in this quarter. We're going to do it one more time. This time I'm going to do it in turbo mode, okay? And you need to stop me if there's anything you don't understand, but I just want to run through it really quickly. Because everything we're doing today depends on understanding phasors, okay? Everything we're doing depends on understanding phasors. So, the first thing I want to do is remind us what we did last day. And, by the way, nobody has submitted the error on the web page yet, right? Nobody has. I figured somebody would send me an email or something, right? I don't know. It must be an obscure error, but I'm guessing it would take 5 minutes to find it. But anyway, yeah, right. Has anybody been looking? Nobody's looked, right? Man, you had all weekend. Yeah, it was taking 5 minutes, and you could have got a 5-minute whole homework for, you know, in the bank, right? Anyway, so just to tell you, nobody's done it, right? Extra credit is still out there. Maybe I'll put that here. Extra credit still available. Okay, let's look at what we did last day. And it was kind of this last page here. We came up with this thing called a transfer function, the Laplace transform transfer function, which was the output as a function of S divided by the input as a function of S. And the nice thing about this thing is all you have to do is take the input as a function of S, multiply it by this wonderful function, and it gives you output as a function of S. Okay? That's so simple compared to doing things in the time domain. That's why we like transfer functions. That's why we like the S domain. Okay? It makes problems that were differential equations be algebra problems, okay? Just simple multiplication, right? That's wonderful. Now, then once we had this H of S, that H of S is actually our old friend. Or we can get our old friend from this guy right here by the initial conditions are already set to zero usually when people talk about the H of S. There's actually an H of S from the initial condition to the output as well, if you think of the initial condition as an input. But, you know, if we're talking about this is the input, that's the output, we turned all the other inputs off, like that's all the other initial conditions off and whatnot. So we have this thing. If we just replace S with J omega, that's all you do. You change S to J omega, then you have the phasor transfer function. And what we need to do is we need to understand that phasor transfer function all over again, because we've probably forgotten what phasors were and why they were important and what they were useful for. And we need to do that because they're still very important, because what comes out of the wall here is sinusoidal, right? And what happens in many mechanical systems is it's getting vibrated sinusoidally, or it's getting turned, right? Anything that rotates, it has sinusoidal kind of things to it, right? That's just the way it works. And that's why we have what we have coming out of the wall is sinusoidal, because there's a magnet that's turning in a magnetic field, right? And as that magnet turns around, the voltage goes positive, and then when it turns around the other half cycle, it goes negative. And, you know, that's all there is to it, right? I mean, that's why we have a sine wave there. It's because the mechanical thing is turning, right? And there's other things that work the same way. So we need to understand sinusoidal steady state really well. And it's really important to double E's like me, because we have things like radios, right? You know, this weekend I got a little time to play with a little ham radio project that I've been working on. And I have filters in that radio that, you know, filter out the things that I don't want, right? And they pass the things that I do want. So understanding how my filter behaves to sinusoids of different frequencies is very important to me, because I know I listen to this radio station and not that one, right? That's cool. I want to listen to the one I want to listen to, and I don't want to listen to the other one, right? So understanding this business is going to be very important, okay? So here we go. Let me just give you the quick review on phasers, okay? Phasers are good for sinusoidal steady state analysis, okay? I'll put analysis here. Design is more fun, but you have to do analysis first. So anyway, let me just make up a problem here. I'll make up the same old favorite problem that I always do. I don't know, it's easy. So I'm going to call this Vm cosine of omega t plus theta. Okay? This is a resistor R. This is an inductor L. And I want to find, my problem is to find I of t in steady state. That means the particular solution. Or forced response. Oops. I'm going to erase right. Forced response. Okay. So that's the part due to this guy, not to the initial conditions. That's not the homogeneous solution, the particular solution, not the natural solution, the forced response. Okay. So I'm just going to write a Kirchhoff voltage law around this loop, and here it is. It says minus Vm cosine of omega t plus theta plus Ri plus L di dt equals zero. Okay, so there's my differential equation, right? So then I would assume a solution. I would say I of t equals sum a cosine of omega t plus theta plus sum b sine of omega t plus theta. That would be my guess. Why is that? Well, let's think about it. If I plug this I of t in here, this term right here will give me just r times that, some amount of sine and cosine, you know, with this offset, right? And when I take di dt, when I take derivative of I with respect to t, it's going to give me something like this, some amount of this cosine and some amount of the sine. The cosine turns into a negative sine and the sine turns into a cosine, right? So if I add this whole thing up, it's only going to have sines and cosines of this frequency with this phase offset, right? I could then equate coefficients of cosine on the left to cosine on the right, and coefficients of sine on the left to coefficients of sine on the right. I would have two equations and two unknowns for the A and B that I need, okay? I could solve it that way. It works, okay? It's just a fair amount of work, okay? Everybody agree this is the old-fashioned differential equations way of doing it. Now, Steinmetz came along and said, look, oh dear, did I not bring my red one? Oh, here it is. Steinmetz came along and said, look, that thing right there is really equals the real part of Vm e to the j omega t plus theta. Hmm. And solving due to the finding the part due to this, this would be nice. This is a nice forcing function. And you see, if I found this, found the part right there, maybe I should make this part right here. I'll put that in black. So you can see this is the real part of, okay, real part of that. So, but the red thing is easier to solve. If I had the red thing, it would be easy. And so what I can use superposition and say, look at the part of the solution due to this red thing that's actually the part that's the black thing is just the real part of the solution, right? If I found this total solution due to this red guy and I took the real part of that solution, that would be the part due to the black, the Vm cosine omega t plus theta. Because you see, this guy will have two parts to it. This e to the j gadget is made up of a real part, which is the cosine, and an imaginary part, which is the sine, right? And in the imaginary part, everything due to the imaginary part will have a j in front of it, but by proportionality. And so I could throw that part away, and I get the part I want. I get I of t, right? So what we do instead is we say, look, I'm just going to write the same loop right here with that guy as the forcing function. You know, this guy, the red guy, is the forcing function. And the red guy is going to cause an I sub c of t. It's going to cause this guy right here. And this guy is made up of that guy. See, I sub c of t will be made up of that guy. I sub c of t is equal to, I'll write this in black here because it's really, that's what we're after, I of t. And then I'm going to have plus j, I sub j of t. That's the part due to the sine, right? And you know, this is kind of cool because I get the solution to cosine and I get the solution to sine simultaneously with the same amount of work. Actually, less work than it took to get the solution to cosine, it'll turn out. So I'm just going to write the loop here, and so I have this thing here. It's going to be over here. It's going to be minus Vm e to the j omega t plus theta. That's the source right here. Plus R I sub c plus L d I sub c dt equals 0. Okay? And I'm going to say my guess is going to be I sub c of t will just be equal, well, here I guess the linear combination of the forcing function and its derivatives, right? That's why I did. Some amount of the regular cosine plus some amount of its derivative. And the derivative, the next derivative, goes back into the cosine, right? So I've got all the possible derivatives from here to, you know, as many derivatives as you could dream of, right? So this guy, the forcing function is e to the j omega t plus theta, and what are the derivatives of him? They just all look like e to the j omega t plus theta, right? I mean, times some complex constant. So I'll put some I bar here, which I don't know what it is. It's kind of like the A or the B there, right? And then I'll just put e to the j, and I'm going to put omega t, okay? And the e to the j theta can be lumped into the I bar if you like. Okay. So if I plug that in, then the solution looks like this. I've got minus Vm e to the j omega t times e to the j theta. I'm just breaking this thing up into its two parts. You know, e to the j omega t plus theta is e to the j omega t times e to the j theta, right? And then I have plus R I sub c, I bar, e to the j omega t plus j omega l I bar e to the j omega t equals 0. Right? I just plugged in the I sub c right here and right there. Is that okay? And took the derivative. We're going to take the derivative, just multiply it by j omega. whole lot easier than taking the derivative of this guy right here. You got to remember the signs. Is the derivative of cosine is minus sine and all that. You know, oh man, I have a hard time keeping track of stuff like that. So anyway, this guy is very nice because all I have to do, instead of equating coefficients like I did, I had two equations and two unknowns over there. I'm just going to divide out. I have one equation and one unknown here. I can equate coefficients of e to the j omega t, essentially, right? So I can just divide it out. So I can divide that out, and divide that out. Ah. And so if I bar solves that thing, that's the solution for this red funny complex thing here, right? So what have I got? I can just solve that for I bar, and I get I bar equals bm e to the j theta over r plus j omega l. It's just algebra. Now, there's another way I could have got this thing right here. If I had a funny circuit like this, this was vm e to the j theta. And then I had a resistor here, value r. And then I had a funny thing called an impedance. It's like a resistor, only it has a value j omega l. And then this thing going around here, instead of being I sub c, that's I bar. Now look at this thing. If I just went around this loop here, I would say minus vm e to the j theta, that's this guy right here, plus r I bar, right? Plus j omega l I bar equals zero. Oh, that's interesting. This funny circuit, which doesn't mean much to us, would give us that kind of a thing. And look at this funny circuit here. This funny circuit could be written as I bar equals 1 over r plus j omega l times vm e to the j theta, right? And this, I claim, is a phasor transfer function. Okay, that's h of j omega. Okay? Now, how do I take this h of j omega and get back to this I of t here? Well, let's do it. Remember, I sub c of t, or maybe I'll write it like this. I'll get I of t. I'll do it all at once here. We're in turbo mode, right? I of t equals real part of. Now, should I stop? Any questions so far? This is all old stuff, right? Real part of I sub c, right? That's 1 over r plus j omega l times vm e to the j theta. That's I bar. Now I have to times me to the j omega t, right? So this part right here is I bar. And no, that's not. That's h of j omega. H of j omega. And this guy is the input. That's v bar. And this whole thing right here is I bar. And this is I bar times e to the j omega t, which was I sub c of t, right? And the real part of I sub c was I of t, right? So all we have to do is compute that thing.
And v bar is input?
V bar is, I'm going to call this thing V bar right here. Right here, this guy. I'm going to call this guy right here V bar. Because he's a phasor. The magnitude and the angle of this phasor. And if I wanted to find the real thing over here, I would take this V bar and I would multiply by e to the j omega t, and I would take the real part and I would end up with this guy. See, if I take vm e to the j theta multiplied by e to the j omega t, take real part, I get the original V of t. So this thing, this is V of t right here. V of t equals that. Right? So this is a phasor, this I bar is a phasor, and you take a phasor times e to the j omega t and you get back to the real time sinusoidal steady state doohickey. Okay? Okay, so let's actually do that. So I'm just gonna put this in polar form here. I'm gonna write this as 1 over the square root of r squared plus omega squared l squared e to the minus j, angle whose tangent is omega L over R. Then I have times Vm, whoops, I forgot the real part. I'll speed that over just a tad, equals real. And then I needed the j theta. This was V bar, right? This guy right here, h of j omega. And then I have e to the j omega t. Oops, I better write that red. E to the j omega t. Okay. And so this whole thing is, it's now magnitude of I bar, e to the j angle of I bar. Okay. And then there's times e to the j omega t. So I guess I gotta actually take the real part, right? And then we're back to black, right? Now, when I multiply e to the j theta times e to the j omega t, I could write this as e to the j, well, maybe I should actually, e to the j omega t plus theta, right? And then there's also an e to the j over here, which also should pop in, right? So I could write this as equals real part of, and now I'm going to start, I'm going to have, I'm going to put all the magnitudes first. Vm over square root of r squared plus omega squared l squared. That's this thing and that thing. And then I'm going to put all the e to the j's. And so then I have e to the j, I'm going to write it omega t plus theta minus the angle whose tangent is omega l over r. Okay, so far so good. Okay, I'm just writing this in polar form. And now it's easy to take the real part of this because this becomes, this is just equal to Vm over square root of r squared plus omega squared l squared. And then I have cosine of omega t plus theta minus the angle whose tangent is omega l over r. And there is I of t. Okay, so that's the answer to this problem back here. Now, the hardest part was probably taking the magnitude and whatnot, you know. There's a little bit of work there. Now, let's see what happened. Let's see what happened. We're looking at this circuit right here. And this circuit, if we think about it here, this circuit is an interesting circuit because it's actually a filter kind of a circuit. It's taking an input voltage here and turning it into a current, and that current is dropping off as a function of frequency. As I make omega really large here, the current is dying out, right? You can see this is this 1 over omega squared of omega squared kind of a thing here, right? So it's dropping off kind of like 1 over omega when omega gets really large, right? And there's a phase shift here, minus the angle whose tangent is omega L over R. So what happens is when I put in a cosine wave, the magnitude gets scaled, and the angle or the cosine wave gets delayed by a certain amount. And you know, and asymptotically, this would be delayed by almost 90 degrees, right? Because arctangent of infinity is 90, right? So we'd have minus 90 degrees. And so if I put in different omegas here, I could see how much it was cutting it down. And I could see how much it got shifted over, right? And that how much it got cut down and how much it got shifted over was due to this transfer function right here. You see, this the magnitude of the transfer function told you how much, that's what went here. You got 1 over this, right? the amplitude right here, this VM got adjusted by multiplying the magnitude by the magnitude of the transfer function. The magnitude before was VM. We multiplied it by the magnitude of the transfer function, 1 over square root of r squared plus omega squared l squared. So the magnitude of the transfer function tells you how much the cosine wave gets scrunched or grows, okay? How much the amplitude changes, okay? That's the zero to peak value, how much the zero to peak value grew or shrunk. And the angle of this transfer function, which is this minus the angle whose tangent is omega l over r, that thing got stuck in the cosine wave right after the omega t, right? And that thing tells you how many degrees it was delayed. And it depends on whichever omega you happen to be doing this at, whatever was the omega that you excited it with. As you change your signal source over here, there's a knob on this thing for omega, right? You can adjust whatever omega you want, and then you'll get this thing coming out right here for the current, okay? Now, you know, if you were worried, if you wanted to make this, suppose you wanted the voltage across this resistor, well, that's just I times R, right? So the voltage across the resistor does the same kind of thing, right? And so there's this thing called this transfer function, and the magnitude of it tells you how much the amplitude went up and down, and the angle tells you how much it got shifted, okay? The cosine got shifted. Those are the two important, very important things that you have to understand, okay? So maybe I better write them down, okay? The magnitude of the transfer function that's magnitude of h of j omega scales the amplitude of the input. Can I turn this thing on? Yeah, I guess I did. Okay. Amplitude of the input. And the angle of h of j omega tells how the phase of the input has changed. Or is shifted. Okay, so this is very, very important, okay? Let's stop for a minute and say, are there questions? I did this in turbo mode, and I know I wasn't stopping very much for questions, so we better think about this. Does this make sense to you guys?
Well, I have one question. When you went here, you had the h of j omega.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
And then you went to there. I missed that step.
Okay, here's what I'm doing. This guy right here, that's in kind of like in rectangular form. This guy's in polar form, and I could do a little bit of a quick review here.
Yeah, I remember changing from rectangular to polar. Yeah.
Right, yeah, so this is the thing here. What I did was I called this R, and this was J omega L, right? Mm-hmm. So this point right here is R plus J omega L. And so I wrote that, that's in rectangular, but if I call this angle right here, if I call that phi would equal the angle whose tangent is omega L over R, right? This part over that part. And you could write this as the square root of R squared plus omega squared L squared times, that's supposed to be a parentheses there, wrap around, cosine of B plus J sine B, okay? And if I take that hypotenuse, that's this thing, R squared plus omega squared L squared times the cosine of B, I get R, right? And if I take it times the J the sine of B, I get J omega L, right? And so you could write this guy right here as E to the J B. And and phi is this angle whose tangent is. So I did this on the bottom. I wrote this is the square root of r squared plus omega squared l squared e to the j angle whose tangent is omega l over r. And then I brought the e to the j angle whose tangent is omega l over r down up from the bottom to the top, and it became e to the minus j angle whose tangent is omega l over r. Okay? Is that all right? Sorry for skipping steps. Now, are there other questions? Okay? Okay, great.
Sorry, why did
you
go
from
e
to cosine?
We only care about the real
part. The real part of e to the j thing is cosine of that thing. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
And this is just a real number, Vm over r squared, square root of r squared plus omega squared l. I could bring that outside the real part.
No, you said magnitude of the transfer function scales the amplitude of the amplitude.
You can see it here. Maybe I should write this as 1 times 1 over square root of r squared plus omega squared l squared is multiplying Vm. Here's Vm over here. So this Vm got scaled by the magnitude of the transfer function, which was 1 over square root of r squared plus omega squared l squared. And then the angle got changed by this minus the angle whose tangent is omega l over r. That's the angle of the transfer function. This guy right here, minus the angle whose tangent is omega l over r, is the angle of h of j omega. Maybe I should write that somewhere. Minus angle whose tangent is omega l over r is the angle of h of j omega. Yep, multiplying the magnitude, adding the angle. Multiplying the magnitude, adding the angle. Yep, that's it. That's it. Okay, so now we've got this. Let's do an example, okay? Another example. Only this time I'm not going to go through all the steps. We're going to do this in shortcut mode, okay? That was turbo mode explaining everything why. Now we're going to do it in shortcut mode, okay? So, example. Okay, so I've got this thing right here. Now this was a, let's see, I need to look at your thing, capacitor and then a resistor, right? I want to do the same thing that's on the handout here. Right? So it is. And this guy is Vn. So this is, I'm just going to put in cosine of omega t right there. This is C and this is R, and then we got to ground it over there. Is that right? 10 ohms. 1,000 microfarads. So, let's just do it. So here we start out with this thing right here. Now, we've been talking about Laplace transforms. What does any of this have to do with Laplace transforms? Well, let's just do this thing with zero initial conditions in Laplace transforms, right? So remember what we did over here? We just came up with this business back up here. Yeah, right here, right? Well, we came up with inductors or LS. It's got an initial condition. Well, we're going to turn off initial conditions because we're looking for the sinusoidal steady state response, not due to initial conditions. That's something going to die out e to the minus r over LT or e to the minus t over RC or whatever, right? Something that's going to die out quickly. So we don't care about the transient response, so we're going to get rid of this guy, that guy, and then we have the capacitor. We did that likewise. And that was just a 1 over SC, right? So now we're using Laplace transforms to transform the circuit. So here it is in the S domain. Except I'm not going to transform this part. I'm just going to leave that part. Okay? In fact, I'm going to call this VI of T. Okay? And I want, I guess this is V out of T, right? So I want the transfer function for this thing. So step one, Okay, maybe I'll write that over here. 1, find the transfer function. Find h of s, which will equal v out of s over vi of s. Okay, that's the transfer function, right? Initial condition set to 0. Okay, so I'm going to make the Laplace transform. Here's vi of s. Vi of s. Notice I didn't Laplace transform cosine omega t. Right? Now, why didn't I do that? The reason I didn't do that is when I do a Laplace transform, it assumes that this thing starts at time t equals 0. I integrate from 0 to infinity, right? Well, when I'm doing this thing, I really want the sinusoidal steady state. I'm really still trying to do this kind of a problem where it's a cosine omega t. It's not a cosine omega t times u of t. It's a cosine omega t, right? So I'm extending Laplace transforms to something that they weren't really set up to do, right? But the reason I'm doing this is because everybody does it in the S domain. It's easier to write S than J omega, okay? And so I'm just kind of following in the footsteps of everybody else, right? Really, if you want to be rigorous about it, you probably want to do this, right? But, you know, here, over here, this thing, when I did this guy, this became J omega L. That's just like the LS I had on the previous slide here, right? Just like the LS from up here, right? Except S equals J omega now, right? So I'm just going to do that. I'm just following along. So I got VI. I got a 1 over SC here. 1 over SC. And I got a resistor here, right? Which is just R. And this voltage here is V out of S. And now the nice thing about this is it's easy to write V out over Vn. It's just a voltage divider, right? So I'll write it over here. V out of S over Vi of S equals. Well, you see, it's just going to be this resistor over that impedance plus that resistor, right? It's just like a voltage divider circuit between this guy and that guy. And if you want to derive the voltage divider, how do you do it? You have a current. It will be Vi of S divided by the impedance, 1 over SC plus R. So that's the current that goes through here. And you take that current and you multiply it by R, and that gives you the voltage on the output. Okay? So the transfer function is just R over R plus 1 over SC. Okay? So there we have, that's H of S, right? Okay. Because here we were looking for the current and not the voltage across the resistor.
Okay.
So we made it easier over here. I'm making it a little harder over here. First example is supposed to be easy. The next one's supposed to be a little harder, right? So anyway, so now we got that. So that implies that h of j omega is equal to, well, what's it going to be equal to? R over R plus 1 over j omega c. Now, in reality, I could have gone from here straight to 1 over j omega c and done it that way. That would have been the old circuits way of doing it. But what I'm trying to do is show you it's related to Laplace transforms. And if you have the h of s to start out with from somebody, then you can use that H of S. You don't need to go back to circuits and redrive it, right? I'm just kind of, you know, going around the horn here to show you that it's related, okay? Because often you will be given H of S, and you want H of J omega, right? You don't have to go back and rederive it. You just change S to J omega, okay? So now we've got that. So now what comes out in this circuit? So V out of T in steady state, in sinusoidal steady state. Maybe I'll do a little bit of simplification on this. I'm going to multiply by J omega C over J omega C. So I get J omega RC over 1 plus J omega RC. Is that okay? Just multiplying by J omega C over J omega C, this guy became a J omega RC, this guy became a 1, and that guy became a J omega RC. Is that okay? Okay, so I got that. Now I'm going to write this as j omega over omega 0 divided by 1 plus j omega over omega 0. And omega 0 is defined as 1 over RC. Okay? Is that all right? That's just so I don't have to write RC all the time. And also omega 0 is a very important thing here. If you look at it, if omega over omega 0 is much, much larger than 1, then you can ignore that 1, and you just get the whole transfer function goes to 1, right? So at very high frequencies, where omega is much, much over omega 0 is much, much larger than 1, or omega is much, much larger than omega 0, that would give you a transfer function of 1, right? A transfer function of 1 means input equals output, right? Oh, that's cool. This is passing frequencies that are very high, right? No problem. Now, frequencies that are very low. If I put in omega equals 0, I get 0, right? Ooh, it doesn't pass DC, right? And the place where it changes from passing to not passing is where omega over omega 0 equals 1. That's where the behavior changes, right? You can see that by looking at this little equation here. So this guy tells you a lot about what's going to happen when we do this. So let's just, I guess, I want to write this in polar form here. It's going to be omega over omega 0 divided by square root of 1 plus omega over omega 0 squared, and then I'm going to have e to the j 90 degrees minus the angle whose tangent is omega over omega 0. And that's, the j gave me e to the j 90. Okay. So, in sinusoidal steady state, the answer is V out of t equals, okay, I put omega over omega 0, which I suppose I could put, that's just omega times RC, right? Divided by the square root of 1 plus omega RC squared, that's omega over omega 0 magnitude, and then I'm going to have cosine of omega t, and then I'm going to have minus the angle whose tangent is, or minus 90, I guess, or plus 90 minus the angle whose tangent is. So I got plus 90 minus the angle whose tangent is, plus 90 degrees minus the angle whose tangent is omega over omega 0. Oh, omega 0 is RC, so it's omega 0 RC. Omega RC. And then like that. There it is, okay? The amplitude got scaled by the magnitude of the transfer function, and the phase shifted by the angle of the transfer function, which was 90 minus the angle whose tangent is omega over omega 0, or omega times RC, okay?
Yeah. Why'd you put the 90?
Because of the j here, e to the j 90 is j. E to the j 90, you know, here's my little thing here. If I wanted j, it's going to be just 1 e to the j 90, right? The angle is 90. This is the right angle here. But phi would be 90. Just j is e to the j 90. It's another name for j, right?
Is the j still in that expression then?
The j is right here. Yeah, the j is this 90. All right, let me write this a little better. It's kind of hard to read there. Let me, I'm going to write e to the j, and I've got 90 degrees minus the angle whose tangent is that, right? Is that better? You can read that a little better. Sorry for the fat pen.
I just
took the magnitude, stuck it out there in front of the cosine. Here was the cosine. So I took the cosine right down here. I put the magnitude in front, okay? And then I wrote cosine omega t. And before I put the closing parentheses, I grabbed this angle right here, 90 minus the angle whose tangent is, and I popped it in there right after the omega t, and then I put the parentheses.
Did you put the
Yeah, this is the omega over omega zero right here, and omega RC is omega over omega zero. I just put it in terms of RC again, right? I don't know, maybe I should have left it as an omega zero. I probably should have. I don't know why I did that, but I did it. Okay. So now, there's one thing we have to do, and we have to make a plot of this thing. Okay, so let me do that over here. So, here's the magnitude of H of J omega. I'm going to plot that in dB on the x on the y-axis, and I'm going to plot log of omega here. And then I'm going to plot the angle right here, log of omega, angle of H of J omega, and I'm going to plot that in degrees. And you guys remember dB? That's 20 log of the thing. You guys have seen that before, right? So I've got 20 log base 10 of omega over omega 0, right? Divided by the square root of 1 plus omega over omega 0 squared, right? Okay. So I'm going to put omega 0 right here. Here we have, this will be 0.1 omega 0. This will be 10 omega 0. There's 10 omega 0 there, omega 0, and 0.1 omega 0 right here, okay? And let's think what this thing looks like. We said as we went to, I'm going to put 0 dB up here, 0 dB right there. That'll be the axis going across like that, okay? So 0 dB, as omega went toward omega toward infinity, it was passing, right? So the angle, the magnitude up here will kind of look like this, okay? When omega equals omega 0, if omega equals omega 0, this is a 1, so that's 1 over root 2, right? 20 log of 1 over root 2 is minus 3 dB. So right here at omega 0, this is going to be down by minus 3 dB. So that's minus 3 dB right there at omega 0. And then as omega 0 heads toward 0, this is going to look like, basically, it's going to look like it's basically going to look like it's what is it going to be here? I guess I should do that. Omega goes to omega 0. So I have like x over the square root of 1 plus x squared, right? And I'm taking the limit as x goes to 0, right? So let's divide top and bottom by x. So I say this is 1 over square root of 1 over x squared plus 1, okay? So now taking the limit as x goes to 0 is like taking the limit as 1 over x goes to infinity, right? And so what does this look like? Well, it's going to head towards 0, and it's kind of going to be, you know, as x gets really, really small, as x, this thing gets really, really big, and so this is approximately like 1 over x, right? As we head that way, right? And so 20 log of 1 over x, 20 log of 1 over x is minus 20 log of x, right? So this is going to come down here with a slope here of minus 20 log of x. It's kind of going to go like this. And the slope right here is going to be minus 20 dB per decade. In other words, every time I move over this way by one decade, I'm going to be gone down by 20 dB, right? So this must be, right here, must be minus 20 dB. Okay? Now the angle, what happens to the angle? The angle was 90 minus the arctangent of omega over omega 0. So this is 90 degrees minus the angle whose tangent is omega over omega 0. And I guess I need to put, I should have put, and here's 0 down here. Here I'll put 90 up here, okay? So if I start out with omega equals 0, that's 90 degrees, right? So here we are up here at 90. So it starts out at 90, it's kind of coming down. And by the time it gets to omega 0, if omega equals omega 0, that would be 90 minus 45. So that would be right here in the middle. So that's like right here. This is 45 degrees. 90 minus 45 is 45. So it's kind of going down like this. And it's asymptotically, this angle whose tangent is infinity would be 90 degrees. So I get minus 90 minus 90, so it's asymptotically approaching 0. So there we are, asymptotically approaching 0 here, right? So that is called, this is called a Bode plot. And it's very useful because you can tell what happens to the amplitude of the thing by just going in here at the frequency that your excitation is. You can tell the amplitude was down by, well, if you were right here, it would be down by 20 dB. If you're right here, it's down by 3 dB. You know, if you're over here, it's not hardly down at all. And then you can also figure out what the angle change is. If you're way over here, the angle changes, it's a positive a little bit. You know, it's moved to the left a little bit, a tiny little bit. Over here, it's moved to the left by 90 degrees, right? And at omega 0, it's like 45 degrees. So this plot, these two plots, tell you what goes in front of the cosine and what comes after the cosine, okay? Any questions? Okay, well, we're way out of time here, so my apologies for going over, but at least we got this done. Oh, was that too much for one day? I don't know. On the test, huh? Is that what you're worried about?
Actually, it might be not enough.
Not enough, oh dear. Yeah, I suppose that's possible, huh?
What is this?
Well, as soon as we're done with Laplace transforms and we're getting close to the end, we'll do maybe one or two more days on this Bode plots, and then we're done with the subject material, so you guys can start thinking about when's a good day for the exam. Assuming that's what we want. Do we want an exam? Am I in your way, Ellen?
Well, more or less.
You can take a picture of the whole board with one, yeah. One shot, huh? Oh, man.
You wrote big enough, I think I can read it.
You have to zoom in far enough,
what's
right?
What's funny is my webcam on my laptop has lower resolution than my phone.
But this one works pretty good, huh? Your phone works pretty good, better than your laptop.
It'll put out 1920 by...
Wow. Same DPI and this big, huh? We just turn off the initial conditions. In other words, we did that here. There was no round source in there, right? So you'd need to somehow turn off the initial conditions. Set them to 0. If they said if I of 0 was 1 amp, then change it to 0. This means and. It's an and.
Okay.
And
it looks like an E with a line through it.
It is kind of that? That's my crummy and sign. Yeah, my apologies.
So I'm still confused on how this thing right here
became that thing. Okay, let's convert the top, first of all, okay?
What are you converting it to?
To polar.
Oh.
Okay. So it's going to be magnitude is omega over omega 0, and angle is 90, right? So I got omega over omega 0, e to the j 90, okay? Now let's convert the bottom. The bottom is the magnitude is the square root of 1 plus, 1 squared plus the imaginary part squared, which is the omega over omega 0 squared. So I got this is the magnitude. And now the angle whose tangent is this imaginary part over the real part. So that's this angle right here, except that it would be a plus, right?
Yeah, but
I brought it up. Yeah, I brought it up. Yeah. You got it.
I got this far. And I can. I'm supposed to find IS.
Yeah, good.
And I know all these except for what S is. I know S is.
You just need to. You found I of S, so that's I of S right there, right?
Okay, that's it. I don't have to plug numbers in because I'm given numbers.
No, I'm a little worried about your U2 here, right?
Yeah.
U2 is approximately an impulse function.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to take U2 and do the Laplace transform of U2, you said it was U2 over S. I would say it's just 1. Because
okay.
The Laplace transform of delta of t is just 1.
You can do it
as
a unit step function minus another unit step function to make a really skinny, you know, thing. And what you'll find out is that it will charge up like this, and then it will discharge like that.
So all I need is to change that to a 1.
To 1, and then you've got I of S, yeah.
Okay.
And then you can inverse transform it if they ask for that. I don't remember if they did.
This is this is the square wave. One.
Right, mm-hmm.
This is supposed to equal 1 over n, right? The
well, no, it's actually going to be, I just know it's proportional to that. I think it might change sign or something. So this is possibly right. Because you see, when I put in n here is an even number, cosine of 2 pi or 4 pi or whatever it is,
yeah.
is just 1. So I got 1 minus 1, so I'm going to get these two terms will cancel and these two terms will cancel. So I'll get 0 for the even terms.
Yeah, and I should have 0 for even terms.
And the odd terms, this guy right here will add to that guy.
The odd terms, I'm getting something like, I'm getting 4
right.
over
yeah.
pi n.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right.
Okay, because the graph I have of using just 1 over n looks
right, but is the amplitude right? I bet it's a quarter off.
It looks pretty darn close, but I can...
Check and see. Check
okay.
and see.
Yeah.
I'm betting it means that
I guess 4 over pi is pretty close
to
1.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Check and see.
So I'm given this is the input, this is a transfer
yep.
function.
Mm-hmm.
I know that this multiplied by this gives me the output, which is...
Well, not quite.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what we just... This is a sine wave here, right? Cosine,
mm-hmm.
just like what we were just doing today, right? So you got H of S. You need to take S and change it to J omega.
Mm-hmm.
What's omega? Omega is 2 pi n, right? That's
so
the thing in front of the T. So you're going to put in S as J 2 pi n, J 2 pi n, J 2 pi n. Then take the magnitude of that, put it in front of the cosine, take the angle of that, put it after the t and the omega t, and they're done.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully it's coming together. Hopefully you're seeing it. Okay.
That's the thing about this class is, like, in general, sometimes I have an idea of it, but then, like, the little details, like, putting into practice,
yep.
where I get stuck.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got a ton of papers today.
So you're going to go up to your office?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just bring this up there.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So, Carlton, how are you today?
Did we do an open circuit test on the lab board synchronous machines?
I can't remember.
I think you did.
Possibly.
Because it's not possible with the stuff that's in the rack.
You can't. What's the problem?
Can't get enough, low enough field current. Because, to get the air gap line, you have to go down the pretty small field excitation.
Uh-huh.
So I'm positive you didn't do it.
Yeah, I don't remember doing it. I don't remember having problems. The way you could tell whether I did it or not maybe was look at those labs. Did you find those labs that I did?
Yeah, I doesn't have it.
Yeah, so I didn't do it then. Yeah. So you got to figure out a way to do that, huh? What are you going to do about that?
Well, we got to figure it out. We need about 6K.
So you just need to choose a different resistor that's not in the lab volt set.
Yeah.
Well, 6K probably won't draw very much power, so you can probably find something.
It's about 2.5 watts.
Yeah. You can probably find it. That's one of those things that I wish we hadn't lost so many of. You know, they used to have all those high power 5-watt resistors. You know, I mean, they used to have like a whole bins of them, right?
Yeah.
Where'd
they go?
Yeah, right. That's what I'd like to know.
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe physics still has them or something, or maybe TSS does. I don't know.
Yeah.